views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. You may be listening to us on 1150 AM KKNW here in the Seattle area, or WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. Cable radio network somewhere in the United States, one of the stations in Australia, or somewhere across the world on the internet on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from, you're going to be glad you joined us here today, because we're going to be talking about a subject that everybody wonders about. But first, I want to say hello to my better half on the show who makes you all hear me, and my guest, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Hey, good day, Christine, and welcome back as usual for another wonderful Friday in store for everybody.
Yeah, I love ending the week this way,
yeah.
although my week never ends. You know, it's funny, when you love your work, it's not like it ends at the end of the week.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, it's more of a, you know, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week sort of thing. But there's something really nice about the closing down of the week with a show. So I'm glad to be here. And, you know, Benny, so many people wonder about the afterlife. Now, as you know, several weeks ago, I lost my beloved Oreo, my cat, and, you know, I was with her when she passed, and, you know, we do a lot of grieving, whether it's the loss of a pet, a loss of a parent, a child, a friend. There's this issue of letting go, but there's also this issue of where are they, you know, and my guest today is actually addressing that in some amazing ways. His name is Bob Olson. And I love the fact that he's got this very rational-based background. He describes himself as a former skeptic because he's a private investigator. And, you know, he's going to tell his personal story about the impetus for him to start to investigate what happens to us after we die. But he began to pursue it with the private investigator kind of approach. Now, he was a private investigator for many years, worked at prestigious law firms in New England. And, you know, he decided to sort of take it on with that same kind of rational-based, you know, research, exploring what happens and what's the evidence out there. And his expertise has helped him to take those 15 years of research and put it into a book called Answers About the Afterlife. And he's also moved forward in helping people to sort of establish what makes a good medium, a psychic medium. You know, what are some of the things that sort of say people are definitely good based on some very rational, quantitative, qualitative checklists. So he's taken some of these things that we think about it sort of in the new age and spiritual realm, and has brought it down to more scientific, you know, evaluative approach. And his latest book, as I said before, is Answers About the Afterlife. A private investigator's 15-year research unlocks the mysteries of life after death. I'd like to welcome him to the show, Bob Olson. Bob, thanks so much for joining
us today. Hi, Christine. Hi, Benny. Thank you very much for having me here today.
You know, Bob, you talk about how you had a very personal impetus that got you to explore, you know, issues relating to the afterlife. What happened?
You know, it's very much like you're probably experiencing yourself now. I want to say I'm sorry to hear about Oreo.
Thank you.
Thing to go through, whether it be a person or a pet. I know that my pets are like family to me, so it's difficult.
They really are, aren't they? Yep.
That's what happened. I was in my mid-30s. My father died at the age of 64, and I had lost loved ones before him. But for some reason, at this time of my life, really for the first time, I wondered where he went, if he went anywhere. I didn't have much of a foundation as far as beliefs. I grew up Catholic, but we weren't strict Catholics, and I kind of got away from it in my 20s and 30s. And so I decided, you know, if there is something, who better to find out than a private investigator, which was my career. At that time, I was investigating all sorts of different things, and I said, why not investigate life after death and see if there's anything to it? That's how I got started.
Well, that's great. So how did you go about researching this?
Well, at first, because I really didn't believe in it and didn't know where to go, I floundered for 2 years. And I went where I thought, you know, there might be some evidence. And you got to remember, too, this was the late 90s. So there's a lot more known today. People are more familiar with mediums. Most people didn't even know what a medium was back then. And so I was going to psychics, astrologers, tarot readers, you know, anything that was sort of new agey, I went in that direction. And because my skepticism was so strong, really on the cynical side, you know, I'm sure that some of those people were legitimate, but they seemed to me as though they were all, you know, phonies, frauds, or scam artists is the way I put it back then. And it wasn't until about 2 years later, 1999, so 15 years ago, I happened to go to a medium. Somebody I knew went to one, told me about this enormous amount of evidence-based messages that were coming through, things in his life that this stranger to him could not possibly know. And so I said, I got to have that experience, and that was where I started.
So what happened when you went?
I made the appointment. It was supposed to be a one-hour appointment. The reading was going so well that neither one of us wanted to stop. She was kind of new at it. I think I was her third client that paid for a reading.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And so we kept going. It went on for 3 hours. And I had recorded it. I was taking notes. And I was absolutely blown away with the types of messages that, again, the stranger to me. She only had my first name. I made the appointment locally. I paid her in cash. I took my rings off and anything that might identify some information about myself. My wife came with me, but she hid in the car so that she couldn't assume I was married. All these things. I went in there and, oh my goodness, you know, names and dates and, you know, my grandmother came through, in addition to my father, who was in spirit, and she named all her grandchildren, including myself, by name, and didn't get one wrong. Maybe we're talking like 8 different people, and she had all of their first names correct, which was enough for me. And then it just got better and better from there.
Amazing. So when you decided to investigate this in earnest, not just for your own personal experiences with those loved ones who you'd lost, but also for people at large, how did you go about doing that?
Well, you know, so once this happened, and I had gained such evidence, you know, that this person, this is what a lot of people who go to mediums say, there's no way she could have known that, no way he could have known that. So I had this. But I said, well, you know what? I actually made a deal with her that, you know, I was familiar with how to market yourself because I had worked for myself my whole life. And I said, you're new at this. I'll help you market yourself if you can help me do research, what your ability. I didn't think I would ever meet another medium. I figured, oh, I probably found the only one in the whole world. But anyways, so I was testing her in all sorts of different ways about what the different possibilities were. And again, few people knew. Even back then, most people, most mediums, never mind people who were getting readings, didn't really know you could get a reading by phone. Everybody thought you had to go in person.
Sure.
And so I was testing her in all these different ways. I would try things on the phone. I lived in Massachusetts at the time, and so we were states away, and I took out all my old case files that had people where someone had died, some murder cases, for instance, and personal injury cases where people had died. And I tested her. I said, okay, I have this case file in front of me. What can you tell me about it? And things that only me and maybe a couple lawyers and some family members in the whole world knew about. And so then once I was starting to learn about the ability in this way, I actually started to meet other mediums. And it got to the point where once you meet one who was more established, they knew of others. And so then what I started to do was compare and contrast. I was testing them all. They were happy to allow me to sort of see what was possible with their abilities. And I was noticing that they were doing things very much the same, and yet because of their personalities, they had their own sort of style about the way they did things. So I was analyzing what was the same, what was different, and this is how I was sort of going at it at the beginning.
That sounds fascinating, and I'm a former research statistician who ended up going into energy healing, so I truly appreciate the skeptical, open-minded approach, you know, that you took, because it's so important for us to look at things rationally but be open-minded enough to actually assess, you know, what's going on out there and you know, gather the data, so to speak, the information.
It was a lot of fun, and I was learning things not just about their abilities, but even about people's perceptions. You know, so I was interviewing clients of psychics and mediums, and one of the things that was interesting to me is I had this whole list of questions that I would ask them. You know, why did they go, and you know, what did they get out of it, that sort of thing. But the most interesting question to me was I was always asked them, you know, do you believe, you know, in it, that we live past lives, that we have past lives. And almost all of them would say yes. And then later in the interview, I would say, do you believe in reincarnation? They go, oh, no, I don't believe in that.
I don't understand that.
Well, it was religion, you know. There was religion being contradicting their true beliefs, and that they just weren't making the connections there. But these are little things that I was learning. The other thing that I learned, one of the things I learned was that you get to a point when you have these experiences, I say you go from a belief to a knowing. And a belief to me is just you're taking what someone else has said and you're taking it on faith as though that were true.
Right.
But when you have your own personal experience, that can lead to a knowing. And a knowing is something that you know is true at like a cellular level that it's so sacred and that it doesn't even matter if anybody believes you or not. You get to that point where I know I went through that. But what would happen, like after my very first reading, I learned this lesson, and then I really learned it as time went on. But I called my mother and my best friend at the time, and I was so excited to tell them about this reading. And after giving them this big long explanation about all the evidence that had come through, both of them, who trusted me more than they trusted probably most people in the world, said to me, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I want to believe, but the most I can say is I believe that you believe it.
Right.
And that was me recognizing that, you know, they weren't able to get beyond belief because it wasn't their personal experience. And then when people go and have their own experience, in this case this would have been a reading or something with a medium, then now they can get to a knowing with it.
That makes perfect sense. Well, you know, Bob, when we come back from this quick break that's coming up, I'm going to want you to chat about the information you're getting from the other side that answers all sorts of questions about the afterlife. We'll be back in just a few moments here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Are you ready for all the abundance you can imagine? Lynn Brown's Abundance Through Energy Workshop on August 8th will bridge the perceived gap between the material world of money and the world of energy. You will experience live readings about abundance, get to play with and see energy for yourself, and enjoy sample healing from local wellness professionals. You will literally walk away with tools you can use in both the energetic and material world when it comes to money. Register now at ruintuit.com or call 844-BINTOIT.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella, one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums. John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Bob Olson, who is the author of Answers About the Afterlife. A private investigator's 15-year research unlocks the mysteries of life after death. Now, Bob, you were talking about how you went and you got validation in a variety of ways from some of these very good, qualified psychic mediums. What are some of the things that you've learned through the years of your research about what happens to us after we die?
Well, you know, and I want everybody to know that it went far beyond the mediums. You know, I went into past life regressions and near-death experiences and all kinds of what they call after-death communications. But the interesting thing about it is they were all saying the same thing. I thought as I would go into studying something new, there might be some contradictions, and then I wondered what we would do in that case. But no, they're all pretty much saying the same thing, and they said it in their own way. And, you know, one of the things, it was interesting because at the very beginning, I learned that everything is sort of, when you're communicating with people in spirit, and even people who have had near-death experiences, this is pretty much somewhat the truth, is when people communicate, people in spirit communicate through mediums, they're kind of, they're trying to send a message to their loved one, and they do it in metaphors. And so what happens is we take a lot of it literal. And because we take it literal, we think, oh, that's the way the spirit world is. That's the way it is in the afterlife. And we kind of learn well, at least I learned later as I got more and more in depth with this, that not necessarily. So, for instance, my uncle came through once through a medium, and he was telling me that he had gone fishing. Well, you know, he loved to fish when he was alive. So what that meant to me and the rest of our family members was that he was happy. He was doing something that he enjoyed. What I learned later, you know, was chances are we're not fishing in spirit. Now, we can do anything we want. We can have, we can do, we can be anything we want in spirit because we're beings of light, and our imagination is the only thing that holds us back. If we can imagine it, we can have, be, do that.
What fun is that?
Well, yeah, right. I think that's one of the reasons we come here, you know, to have a physical life is because we're so limited. And, I mean, the other thing is, and it, when you say what fun is that, it's interesting because in the afterlife, it really is, and it sounds woo-woo, but it really is all about love and peace and joy. All that good stuff is there. That's what it's about. And so, again, another reason to come have a physical life because no evil, no injury, no sickness exists in the spirit world. So we come here to have experiences because we learn from them. As souls, we come and we learn from them, and this is where there is injury and sickness and hatred and evil, and there's these things that by experiencing them, for instance, if you think about love, you know, if you learn about, if you have an experience involving hatred, you now recognize the other side of love, and so you understand love more as a result of it, you know? If you're trying to appreciate your thumb, just slam it with a hammer, and all of a sudden you're going to appreciate, you know, your thumb in a healthy state a lot more than you were before.
That's a great analogy, because with the limitations, you start to recognize what the fullness actually does offer you.
Exactly. And so the greatest limitation is the fact that we, you know, as physical beings, we die. And again, we are eternal beings in the afterlife, which is a concept that our human brains really can't fathom, eternity. But when we come here, we know that there is a time where each one of us is going to die. And that alone creates fear in some people. It creates motivation in other people. But the fear of death alone is really responsible for a lot of problems that we have, a lot of psychological problems, sometimes physical problems that we have as a result of the fact that we do not live eternally as physical beings.
Sure. I know it creates a lot of fear. And, you know, I watched my mother, who had congestive heart failure, get some dementia in her last 4 years of her life or so. And I sometimes wonder if it was related to her fear of death, you know, not wanting to be so conscious as she was going. And, you know, so, and it's really interesting just to watch as somebody deals with the experience, whether they're embracing it or resisting it. And fear has everything to do with that.
Oh, it so does. And whatever side you're on with that changes your experience of dying. You know, some people have a dying experience. If they're not afraid of the afterlife, it's a much more peaceful experience than those people who do. People who understand it, the way you were thinking in sort of evaluating, I wonder if the dementia is a result of this. That's how my brain works, too. So it's those questions that you ask, and then, you know, in my mind, the way, if I wanted to answer that question, I would look at your mother's case, but then I would look at all kinds of other people who were similar to that experienced dementia and sort of learn about them and sort of come up with some conclusions based on maybe hundreds or more cases.
Right. And it's interesting because the individual experiences can offer us, you know, personal validation, but it also sparks questions, you know. And I was talking about my cat passing before, and it's taken me several weeks to talk about this on air, but, you know, she had lymphoma in her stomach and looked like for a while she was going to live. She lived 3 months beyond the diagnosis. They said she's just got a few days. And, you know, I had my healer friends working on her, and she stuck around for quite a while, and I knew that she was going to be passing very soon. And she was in my lap, and she didn't seem to be suffering until the very end. And the last half an hour, she was just sort of breathing strangely, and she moaned a little, and she was not a complainer. And I thought, based on what the vet said, you know, animals with cancer have, you know, long, drawn-out deaths, and, you know, she was saying we should consider euthanizing her, et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, all of a sudden, I looked at her, and I thought, I don't want her to suffer. And I let go of my attachment to her staying and called out to guides, angels, to please come help her. And as I said that aloud, she took one more breath, and that was it. And it was like, wow, maybe there is help there. You know, I mean, that to me was like just that personal bit of evidence. And then the scientific part of me would love to be able to, like, have some sort of, like, light meters or something to measure or evaluate light around a dying person to see who's there to help, you know? Is there extra light there?
Yeah. No question in my mind that made a difference in Oreo's passing because, you know, from what I've learned, with animals, especially with pets, I should say, you know, they really do seem to be here for us. I would almost say that they're higher beings.
I agree.
Because it's almost so much of what they do. If we allow ourselves to see it that way, they're mirroring back things to us so that it helps with our own personal and spiritual growth. And in that particular case, it gave you, there was an opportunity for you to have that experience, do what you did. And I do believe that the end result was because of what you did. And I know that experience well because I had a cat die a few years ago on my lap. It was a Sunday. Mm-hmm. She was very old. She was 22 years old. And it was a Sunday, and the animal emergency was like 45 minutes away. We didn't want to put her through that trauma of having to through all that. So we kept her. But so many times, you know, I got worried. My fear set in that I was worried that we did the wrong thing because I was afraid she would be in too much pain at any one moment.
Right.
And I think whenever I let that fear get at me, she recognized, somehow felt that pain, and that's when she would start to squirm a little bit. I had to calm down and relax in order for her to calm down and relax because she could feel it. And she passed very much the same, like you said. She got one last squeal out, one last meow. And she sort of stretched, and then that was it. That was her last breath.
Right. Oh, yes. And it's actually a beautiful thing to participate in. But I have to tell you that I had a lot of fear about it because, you know, our attachment as humans get in the way. So how do we kind of deal with the attachment? Because I know that from this side of things, we're all very attached. And I know you talk about this a lot in your book, Bob, but what do the ones who've passed have to tell us so that we can let go of attachment? Because I think that's a really important part of us moving forward, is to let go of attachment and move on and continue to live. And I'm going to be curious about what they've been saying through mediums. But, Bob, before we go to break, can you please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you over the Internet?
Yep, they can go to bobolson.com, BOBOLSON.com, and they can learn more about the book. Everything's there. If they want to download the introduction, they can do that as well there.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful book. But we're going to go into lots more about this when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from six delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's galeoscafe.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Bob Olson, who is the author of Answers About the Afterlife, and he's also the host of AfterlifeTV.com. Now, Bob, you know, through your 15 years of research and, you know, speaking to all these mediums that pass all sorts of tests, you know, that you, like these rational-based tests, what have you learned in terms of the attachment? How do people, like, when we lose somebody on this side, even if we do have this firm knowingness that our spirit goes on and the spirit of the person or animal who's died still exists, how do we deal with the attachment, you know, because it's hard to let go?
Well, it is. And, you know, even having written this book, I mean, you know, when someone passes in my life, I grieve. I still mm-hmm. have, but I grieve certain things. I think there's different areas where we grieve their physical presence, of course. You know, we want to hug them, we want to be with them. We grieve their companionship, mm-hmm. no doubt. And but then from that point on, I think some of the things that answers. Literally, when you gain answers about the afterlife and investigating the afterlife, some of the things that helps to comfort are the questions that we have, like, you know, we can still talk to them. So knowing that we can still talk to them, you know, mm-hmm. that separation, that idea of separation, they don't know where I am, I don't know where they are, that's a horrible separation to think. When you finally recognize that they really are in spirit and you can talk to them at any time, you might not hear them, even though, you know, you don't have this ability to communicate with spirits, as some people do, but they hear you, and you recognize in doing this research that they really do. You know that all you need to do is think of them, and they are paying attention to you and what's going on. They're always aware of what's going on in your life, and that's another thing. So we have children, or we win an award, or we come out with a book, and, you know, we want our loved ones who have passed to know about these things.
Sure.
Well, again, that can be really painful if you think that they're just gone and they don't exist anymore. But when you recognize, no, their consciousness survived. So who they're still who they are. Their personality is there. They just don't have their body anymore. And so they are aware of all these things. They're at your wedding. They're at your graduation ceremony. They're there when you're having your child. Those, that's how understanding the afterlife really makes a big difference in people's lives. And then it also takes away a lot of the fears that people have. So people wonder, oh, my goodness, I wonder if he's still suffering. Well, you learn that there's no suffering in the spirit world. So now you don't have that fear anymore, you know. And there's a lot of fears that are related to that. You're like, oh, my goodness, you know, I hope they went into the spirit world. You know, I hope they're not stuck somewhere. No, well, that can't happen. You know what I mean? Like that. And you do your research, you learn that can't happen. And even it's interesting because there's a lot of people who don't know that. There's still a lot of mediums who believe that some people can get stuck between worlds. Well, I found no evidence of that. And even from a practical place, because I'm practical, I think you're practical, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense that
it doesn't.
I mean, we're all one. We're all connected to our souls, which are always in the afterlife. Our higher selves are always in the spirit world. We're connected. We can't not find our way back to ourselves. You know what I mean?
Right. So if those who've passed before us are aware of what's going on in our lives, what happens when we begin to move on? Say you've lost a child, decide to have another one, or you've lost a spouse and you get into a relationship that's pretty serious. How does that affect them on the other side, and how should we personally feel about it, how it's affecting them?
Well, again, these are great questions, because these are all the questions that people have in their minds. And, well, the thing is, they just want us to be happy. They actually want us to move on. You know, there's no person in spirit who wants us to grieve out of some respect for them, you know, or in honor of them. They want us to remember them. They certainly want to be remembered. And so, like, you know, having a memorial service and all that, celebrating their life is something that they want. Us suffering because we feel like we need to is not. So we're going to suffer because of the loss of their physical presence and their companionship, but they want us to move on. They want us to live, because that's what we're here for. We're here to live life, and they don't want our lives to stop because their physical life did. They want us to move on, so they want us to have more children. They want us to get remarried and fall in love again, and they're right there for us, trying to help make those things happen for us.
Interesting. It's interesting because it just reminds me of how recently an intuitive told me that my kitty who's passed is helping me to find new kitties. And yet there's an aspect of it's like, you know, is it being unfaithful? Is it disrespecting, you know, the meaning of that person's life? And yet life goes on, and love is what it's about, isn't it?
It's about love and joy, and there's no such thing. See, here we have jealousy because we think if someone loves us or loves somebody else, they can't love us as much, right? There's some limited supply of love, and that there's some comparing and contrasting going on. But that doesn't exist in the afterlife. In the afterlife, love is all there is, and so they just want us to feel that and know that and experience as much love as possible. By getting another kitten, they recognize the joy that that's going to bring us, and they also recognize that that doesn't take away how much joy we had with them or how much we love them or even how much we miss them. It has apples and oranges. There's one doesn't have anything to do with the other. They know these things even better than we do.
That makes perfect sense. And so we shouldn't worry about being unfaithful or disrespectful by loving some more.
Yeah, you can't, right. You are not being unfaithful or disrespectful. In fact, again, once you understand it from the perspective that I've had the gift of understanding, you recognize that, you know, you're doing what their wishes are. They want you to live on, and we're doing the right thing by doing that, because if it makes us happy, it makes them happy. You know, people, a lot of people worry about, I didn't talk to them. Was I supposed to cremate or not cremate? I don't know now. I hope I made the right choice. It's the same thing. They don't care. Where they're at, they don't care. The physical body, they're done with that. It's over. And if cremating for them And I know some religions don't believe this, and I'm not trying to step on that. This is for the evidence that I've seen. If cremating is a financial, it makes it easier for us financially, uh-huh. and mm-hmm. so it makes our lives easier, then they're perfectly happy with that. It's like gravestones, you know, if you can't afford to get a gravestone for someone, mm-hmm. they're okay with that. They don't want you to burden yourself financially in order to do that for them. Do it for them when you can, when you have the money to do it. And then they're like, fine, that's great. No rush on that.
Interesting. So, after a person passes over, what typically do they experience?
You know, there's different views of thought about this, and I can't tell you which one is correct and which one isn't. The first view of thought is that there's some kind of a transitionary phase that we go through. All right,
mm-hmm.
and so
I've heard that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and in doing that, like, well, certainly, I mean, there's and loved ones will greet us as we're coming over, and so there'll be sort of a reunion of loved ones, and that might certainly will be loved ones from this side, and that includes mm-hmm. our pets. But it can also be like maybe grandparents that we never met because they died before we were born. Well, uh-huh. we would have met them before we came here because they
sure.
were there already. And then, you know, now that we're going home to the spirit world again, oh, there they are again, and they're greeting us. Even souls that have shared other lifetimes with us and not this lifetime will certainly be there. Our spirit guides are there to greet us. These are people, people in spirit uh-huh. who did not share this life with us. They're not having a physical life. They made it their job to sort of guide us and watch over us in this lifetime. They'll be there. So there's this big family reunion. If someone had some kind of trauma or tragedy, we'll say a suicide, a lot of people think that there's then a transitionary phase where there'll be certain people in spirit who will help that person work through it. The other side of that is no. I mean, there's no time or space in the spirit world, so mm-hmm. so transitionary phase might just be something that human beings made up in our minds because we only know linear time, and so we
figure,
oh, we need a time to sort of work through this and get back, you know, back into understanding the spirit world again. Well, no, it's where we came from. It's an immediate memory. Is one view. It's immediate memory. We go back there and instantly we're back into our spiritual bodies, and we're like, oh yeah, oh good, phew, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore because that was tough.
I know. I think this these bodies on this planet can feel very dense sometimes.
They really do. I mean, a lot of people who've had near-death experiences say, you know, they left their body, had this spiritual experience while they were technically dead for whatever, a few seconds to a few minutes, then they came back, and entering the body again, they say, was really the most difficult part of that whole experience because
sure.
they recognized, you know, it's almost like going back into mud. It was just like you go from this very open, high-frequency vibration to this very dense vibration.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Bob, we have to take another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want to hear about what you've learned about more about the perspective of the afterlife, and also tips from you about how to choose a good medium. If we're seeking a medium out to help us connect with loved ones, how to go about that. But we have to go here for a few quick messages. Be back soon.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
On the cutting edge edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. Talking to Bob Olson. Bob, answers about the afterlife. You've come up with lots of questions. You've dealt with a lot of experiential evidence with psychic mediums. Is there some evidence in particular that you have found, particularly swaying, that there really is an afterlife and you're getting information from the other side?
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I was thinking about it during the break, and I thought I was going to say one thing, but really, the way you phrased that question, the best evidence for me, as someone who was skeptical or really needs, you know, good evidence, compelling evidence to get me to believe in it, is that when a spirit, a person in spirit, will talk through a medium, tell you something that you don't know, and so then you go on to find that out. You know, so many people, and that nobody knows. I have this. There's something called a spirit artist, and a spirit artist is they're a medium who is also an artist, so they can draw a picture of the person that they're seeing when they're giving the reading. And so I've had these before. I did an event once where I had five mediums for 5 hours, and this was in Portsmouth. This is in 2002, but I'll never forget it because this spirit artist had people up on stage, and they would give them a reading and would draw it, the person that they were seeing in spirit. And so she drew this person, and she doesn't show it to the person until she's done, and then she hands it to her, and well, lo and behold, the person getting the reading didn't know that that person had died yet. And
My goodness!
Yeah, it's a hard way to find out, but it was not so close that, you know, she fell down on stage or anything. You know, she was just like, "Wow, I didn't know." And she wondered if the medium was wrong, and so she actually I was there. She made a phone call outside in the hall and found out, lo and behold, the person had just passed, like the day before or something like that. So,
oh, my goodness.
So finding out things that we don't know, to me, is the most compelling evidence, because then we know they're not reading our minds. You know, they're not looking up something on the internet. They're not, you know, they're not hearing it through somebody they know. If there's stuff that we don't even know that perhaps just happens, then, and this has happened quite a bit. I mean, we'll find out things that we have to go verify later. But even with the people, you're finding out people didn't, that had passed and you didn't know, that's not the only case. There's been several of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I've heard stories of things that have been lost and, you know, the spirit through the medium says, this is where you're going to find that piece of jewelry or whatever it is, and sure enough, it's there.
That's right. That's right. And it doesn't always happen because if you're not meant to find whatever it is, then you won't get that message.
Right.
Because there might be an experience in there for you, but if you are, then they certainly can help things along.
Interesting. So, Bob, you know, you've talked a little bit about, you know, what you've learned through your research about life after death. How does this relate to religions? So many people in our world, you know, feel very connected to one religion or another. Are the dying experiences different for people of different religions? And is the afterlife experience different for people of different religions?
You know, it isn't. From all the evidence that I've seen, the dying experience is always the same, with a couple caveats to that. One is, because we can have or do or be anything we want in the spirit world, what will happen, and I'll use near-death experiences as an example. So some people have had near-death experiences, believed that something, that the afterlife was going to be a certain way. So, and some people thought they were going to a bad place, like, and they would have a hellish experience. And they did at the beginning. They had what might be described as a negative or a hellish experience.
Sure.
And I've never seen any evidence of hell except for this one thing. But what has happened with a lot of these people is that then they thought of something different. And one way of thinking of a different alternative is by calling out for help. That means you believe it could be different. So you call out for help, and immediately their experience changed. Other people just changed their thought. They thought of being in a beautiful field, and then the next thing, they weren't experiencing that anymore. They were in a beautiful field, and they would play around with that, and they could be in all sorts of different places. Some of the people who were only – it was a very brief experience, so that that's all the experience, will come back and say, oh, well, now I know that hell exists. But that's because they just didn't – they weren't there long enough to be able to have an alternative experience. But as far as religion's concerned, what I've recognized is, aside from getting what you expect, most people are – and I'm talking 99% or more – are having the same experience regardless of their religious beliefs. And they're just – once they're there, they're recognizing that some of their religious beliefs were inaccurate. What I try to tell people regarding religion is, obviously, they can't all be right because a lot of them contradict one another. And yet the people believe in them steadfast. But every religion talks about love and forgiveness and happiness. And when you talk about love and forgiveness, for instance, that's where they have it right. And when they're talking in those where there's no separation between people and getting away from being judgmental, all those things, that's where they definitely have it all right.
Interesting. So, Bob, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there who would like to go see a psychic medium on their own for on their own personal, you know, hopefully interacting with somebody who's passed away that they loved. Do you have some quick advice for us about how to choose one?
I do. You know, I think the best thing to do is just try to get a referral from someone that you trust, you know. So I have websites. BestPsychicDirectory.com is one of them. I got 800 psychics and mediums on there. Always make sure if you want a reading with a medium, you go to a medium, not someone who specializes as a psychic. But go to someone that you know who has had a great reading, hopefully more than one, and in listening to them talk about their reading, you know that this person sounds legitimate, sounds like they can be trusted, and that sort of thing. But a referral is always so much better than just sort of opening up the phone book and putting your finger down and choosing someone that way, you know?
Right. That makes sense. Well, you know, Bob, this hour has just gone by. I absolutely enjoyed this book. I've enjoyed our conversation. Your book, Answers About the Afterlife, A Private Investigator's 15-Year Research Unlocks the Mysteries of Life After Death. I assume it's available on Amazon and et cetera, right?
That's right. Amazon's the best place to go, or BobOlson.com. And Christine, Benny, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very grateful to you and your audience.
Oh, you're so welcome. And can you share with our listeners again, BobOlson.com, right? Yes, BobOlson.com. And you're also the host of AfterlifeTV.com. So thank you all for listening today, and I hope you'll join us here again next week. I've got Carol Tuttle coming next week. You don't want to miss it. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for all the abundance you can imagine? Lynn Brown's Abundance Through Energy Workshop on August 8th will bridge the perceived gap between the material world of money and the world of energy. You will experience live readings about abundance, get to play with and see energy for yourself, and enjoy sample healing from local wellness professionals. You will literally walk away with tools you can use in both the energetic and material world when it comes to money. Register now at ruintuit.com or call 844-BINTOIT.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.